Good morning and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine, Part 2 for this 16th of May, 2023. It is 10:30 on the clock, and you have your host, James J. here. I am joined by CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry Johns. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning.
Always good to see you. How you been?
Doing well. How about you?
Doing well here, too. And looking forward to the conversation today. We are going to talk about the ALICE report, and I know that's something that you and I, behind the scenes, have talked about that we are looking forward to. But we got events to touch on first.
Yes, we got a few things we need to hit on before we get into the, you know, really heavy stuff.
Yeah.
But a couple of things that we have going on. One, right now, is registration for school supplies, so stuff the desk. And so if you are a family that qualifies for free and reduced lunch, or you know a family in Southwood County that qualifies, they can sign up, register their children to receive those supplies by visiting our website at uwswac.org. It's really easy. There is a banner that goes across. It's also mobile friendly, so you just click on it and then you put in all the information about your student or students and you select your distribution time. So distribution will happen in August.
I hear you.
Whoa, totally lost that one. In August, it's an A month, in one of the A months.
There you go.
So August 18th and 19th, we will be doing this distribution. And you sign up for your time slot. So that's what's important, because they're first come, first serve.
Yes.
And I just want to make sure that, you know, people are getting out in front of this. Last year, we served almost 1,000 kids. So that is a lot, and it's significant. But registration did open on May 1st. And, you know, we just want to make sure that we get people registered soon, because that's how we know how many school supplies to gather.
Right.
And while the registration does stay open for a while, because we also don't want people to fall through the cracks, right? We want people to have the opportunity, but the sooner you register, the better. Mm-hmm. And the general rule of thumb is free and reduced lunch, but of course, you know, anyone that can demonstrate a financial hardship, of course, you know, we want to make sure that those kids have the school supplies that they need.
Yeah, I wanted to touch that on that really quick, because in years past, not recently, but I would say in years past, that was something that was brought up to me from listeners asking, is there a heavy requirement? Is there this? Is there this? They're not going to make you jump through hoops to prove some kind of, like, you know, it's the United Way. I mean,
right.
Come on. They're trying to help you. They're not.
Yeah, and you just put the information on the sign-up form. I mean, there's no interview. There's no, you know, anything like that. It's just, if you have a financial hardship, which, you know, typically the standard measure is free and reduced lunch, but there's other, you know, there certainly are exceptions, and there's other things that may happen that affects someone's, you know, income at the time. And so we encourage you, again, get your kids registered. You do need to fill out, there's a little section for each child, so that we have the right thing, right? Because we're not going to give a eighth grader the same as a first grader.
Right.
So they have different supply requirements, and also does ask the school that the child will be enrolled in the fall. So that is going on now. Again, you can do that. You can register by visiting uwswac.org. Click on Stuff the Bus registration, or Stuff the Desk registration, I'm sorry. Or you can always call 211. So you can just pick up your phone and dial 211, and one of our resource specialists will help you, you know, get all of your information in there. So the other side of school supplies, though, is school supply drives.
Right.
So we are looking for businesses, organizations, civic groups, families, anybody who might be willing to gather school supplies and donate those to this effort. So there's different ways that you can get involved. You could have a drive wherever it is that, you know, maybe where you work, or a club or group that you're in, or maybe you're part of a rec volleyball league, or, you know, something like that. You know, ask everybody to, you know, bring something school supply related. Or we need businesses to be a public drop-off site, so that when members of the community are just, you know, out shopping and pick up, you know, maybe 10 folders or something, there's a place that they can drop those off. So that we are looking for, you know, public willing to be posted as a Stuff the Bus site. And then the other opportunity is that we gather all those supplies together. So an individual, so like if you were just shopping and you said, I'm going to grab some notebooks for this, you can bring those to us at Lunch by the River. Always, for years, always the first Thursday of August. And so we invite you to join us at Lunch by the River. We literally stuff this stuff in a school bus, which is fun. We have a whole bunch of volunteers that come and inventory all of the items by color, so that we know exactly what we might need to order So for the distribution, mm-hmm. you know, we have mm-hmm. what we need. Now, of course, this has evolved a lot. I mean, we started this in 2009, you know, and community yeah. collaboration, of course, because well, I think when I started at United Way in 2008, you know, I was seeing all these school supply drives happening, but it was kind of a fragmented effort, right? Yeah. Like people were, you know, they were doing it, maybe taking it to one school or whatever. We were like, how can we make this a community-wide effort right. And maybe improve some efficiencies? And we were also seeing it, I was seeing it in the United Way system in other communities, you know, far yeah. away. So we, you know, kind of took their best practices and got it rolling, and we've evolved a lot. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's really awesome to have the space over at East Junior High because a lot of that building is not used, so we can store supplies there. We can lay everything out. We have typically some high school groups that will come through and pack all the backpacks because we know how many we need, you know, yeah. by school.
Well, and high schoolers know how to pack a backpack. Yeah. You know, they're more familiar with
no
it.
No kidding. You'd be surprised. Yeah, and most sure. of them weigh about 90 pounds, which yeah. is not a good thing, yeah. but, you know, that's the life that we live. Mm. So we are looking for people to host school supply drives, be a public drop site, or just make a donation of school supplies. Sometimes I get the question, you know, I don't really want to go out and shop. I don't know. I want to make sure I'm getting the right thing. What if I buy the wrong, you know, like that kind of thing. We, of course, take monetary donations because what we do with that is we do a bulk school supply order. Mm-hmm. So we order all the backpacks. So as I said before, it was over 900 last year. So, yeah. you know, we're needing to order many, many, many backpacks. So that's what a monetary donation would go toward first is backpacks. And then thereafter for gaps in supplies. You know, maybe we needed, I don't even know, 2,500 glue sticks and yeah. we had 2,000 donated. You know, so then we will purchase the balance. So that's what happens with monetary donations on the off chance, but it really doesn't happen. But on the off chance, there would be money left mm-hmm. from this year's drive. Mm-hmm. We would roll it right forward to get a really yeah. good start for next year. So it stays with Stuff the Bus. It doesn't, you know, go to something else.
I think that's really a smart way to do it, too. Not only are you helping out future self and everything in future kids, but it's great for anybody out there listening to know that, oh, that money's always going to stay in that, no yeah. matter if it's used this year or next year.
And really, I mean, really, it's pretty well down to a science. It's usually pretty close.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, you just never know. And sometimes we will get a huge amount of donations of something. You know, one year we might be short of crayons. The next year we have crayons left over, you know. So,
yeah.
so it just depends upon what kind of calls to people when they're shopping.
I wanted to touch on that too, because I do ask this question every year and it does change every year, the answer. But if there are items that people should really be considering, it does seem like backpacks is one of the more consistent ones. If, you know, we know funds can be hard for people out there, but they are still giving. That's the Midwest mentality. If you can only do so much, where to put your focus, not to say that, oh, just backpacks, but that is something to keep in mind. I think that also, you know, falling back on your own kids and like, well, what do my kids need? Or what does my that classroom need usually? Thinking of those things too.
Well, most of the businesses that sell school supplies, like if you're going in person versus ordering, they will have a sheet there that kind of tells the school supply list. So even if you're, you know, maybe you haven't had kids in school in 30 years, even if you just grab that sheet and kind of eyeball it, yeah. you know, you can, yeah. you can see what the needs are. But I will say around folders and notebooks, because this question comes up, mm. we're looking for just solid colors. Yeah. We're not looking for yeah. patterns or designs or anything like that. And no composition notebooks. We're looking for like spiral bound okay. notebooks. So just, you know, catch people before they buy, right? We're yes. not going to turn stuff yes. away if it comes in. What happens with the things that are kind of the outliers mm-hmm. is we will pack a box after all the backpacks are packed. Everything that's left mm. supply-wise, because we don't always have room to store. Some yeah. things we can, some things we can't. But we will make a box that will go to each school mm. so that when there's, you know, there might be some transiency sometimes. A child yeah. might start school somewhere and 2 weeks later they're going somewhere else, but the backpack got left behind. You know, I mean, stuff happens.
Oh, yeah.
So we just make sure that the schools have some, and then we also have, you know, just some on hand if needed. So, you know, really looking forward to serving the community in that way again this year. But we, again, of course, need everyone's help to do that.
Mm-hmm. Why don't we take a break right here so we can go full right up to the top of the
Perfect.
Hour. We got CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry Johns, with us here on Morning Magazine at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back to the Morning Show, Morning Magazine here at WFHR, locally grown radio. 10:43 on the clock. Terry and James here talking about the United Way and some of the great events that they have coming up. And we're going to dive into the Great Book Giveaway now.
Yes, so we have Great Book Giveaway coming up starting June 6th. So really not far, which is kind of strange. strange. 3 weeks away.
It really does seem weird.
It does seem a little strange. So just want to call these out. And of course, they are posted on our website so you can see them. But we have a series of 9 Reading in the Park events. And this is an opportunity for kids to come, be read to for about 30. The whole event is like 30 minutes, so it's not too long. Kids get read to for about 20 minutes. Then they get to pick books to take home and keep forever. We've got some really fun drawstring bags this year for them to carry their books in. So that's awesome. And our reader slots are nearly full. So that's really cool. We have 3 or 4 just, you know, community members that come out and read their favorite book. And so just to give a rundown so that folks kind of know where we're going to be and what's happening. So Tuesday, June 6th, we will be at the Think Academy Playground in Rudolph at 10:30. Mm. Also Tuesday, June 6th, we will be at the Wisconsin Rapids Zoo at 1:30.
Yeah.
Then on Wednesday, we will be at Ed Hoyer Elementary School in Port Edwards at 10:30. And then Wednesday evening, we'll be at McMillan Memorial Library in Wisconsin Rapids at 6. Hmm. Thursday, we move to the Southwood County YMCA in Wisconsin Rapids at 10:30. And then Thursday afternoon, we'll be at the Charles and Joanne Lester Library in Nakusa at 1:30. Friday, June 9th, we will be at the Adams County Library in Adams Friendship at 10:30 a.m. And then Friday afternoon, we'll be at the Lester Public Library in Rome. And then the following Tuesday, we will be at the Lester Public Library in Vesper at 12:30. And that kicks off their summer reading program. So that's why that one jumps into another week.
Nice.
But it's really cool. Again, all outside. Unless it's raining, then we'll be inside. That's why we've strategically partnered with some of these friends and libraries. But, you know, it is also a really good opportunity. Maybe you pack a picnic or just plan to play at the playground after the event or whatever the case would be. But this is a really cool opportunity, and we're so thankful for all of the books that were donated to us back in April by community members. So most of the books are gently used, some are brand new, and it's just a fun way to repurpose books, but also that treasure for the child of, you know, it is their book, right? Until they're done with it. So they might, you know, they might outgrow it, or they may keep it forever, or, you know, you just don't know.
Whether they hand it on to a sibling or to their own children one day or to strangers' children, you know, that kind of thing. It's something that we all can relate to that, I think. We can all understand what that feels like.
Or they'll circle it back to the event.
Yes.
And that's been happening. So that's cool too. You know, maybe they've read it for, you know, they've aged out and so they'll donate it back and then they'll pick out different books. So great event. We hope that you will gather up the littles in your life and get them there. I would say, you know, sometimes we get the question, who is this geared toward? I would say this is geared toward birth to element, you know, through elementary age. We have books appropriate for those ages, baby board books all the way up to chapter books. And it's just, like I said, it's just a great opportunity. Last year we had about 500 kids participate amongst all of the over the course of all the events. So it's pretty cool.
When I first moved back here, one of the things that hit me right away, especially getting the work, getting a chance to work here at WFHR again, was, okay, well, I was a knucklehead my first run here in this area. I'm going to do better this time. I'm going to give back. This town gave me the closest I've had to a childhood. This town gave me my kids. This town gave me my little brother. There's so many things I want to put back into this area. One of the ways that I've been able to do that is certainly through the station here, but through volunteering, and that's mainly through the United Way. The opportunities that I've gotten with you guys is it will never be lost on me, and I can never appreciate enough, whether it is being just a simple judge with the United Way event, or it is last year getting to read to kids at the Great Book Giveaway. It's putting back into the community. It's balancing scales for people like myself. And I'm not alone. There's other people out there. And this is before the pandemic, let alone after the pandemic and during the pandemic and all this, that people are continuing to look for ways to give back. But as we've touched on, not everybody has dollars and cents. But they can volunteer. And whether you're volunteering to be a reader at the Great Book Giveaway or helping stuff the desk and these events, it goes just as far as dollars and cents can often go. So I just had to get that in there real quick.
It's
just an opportunity to really do this. And while I start out to do these things of, well, I want to give back to the community, I have a great time. I enjoy myself. I had a blast last year reading to those kids. I think I enjoyed it as much as they did.
Yeah,
that's
awesome.
It was a lot of fun. And seeing them get, like, when they're staring at those books to try to, like, eyeballing them and seeing which one they want to grab, it brings you back to when you were a kid and those kind of those Scholastic books or any of those kind of
Riff.
Things. Yeah. It's such a cool moment.
Well, and it makes a huge impact. So never underestimate the value of any volunteering that you do. You know, whether it's through us or, you know, we do encourage people to reach out to Ben on our team. He runs the volunteer center, so there's a lot of great connections. But no matter where you're volunteering, you know, don't ever underestimate that because you are making a huge impact on that organization specifically, but then also on whomever it is that you are encountering during your volunteer time.
And if you're looking for other volunteer opportunities, you can always call 211, talk to Amy, she'll hook you up.
Absolutely.
Let's spend some time, if you don't mind, Terry, talking about the ALICE report now. But again, all these great things going on with the United Way, you can find out more at uwswac.org. Every year, you guys, are, for recent years at least, you've been doing the ALICE report. I can't think of how many years it's been, but it's been a while now.
Yep. So the ALICE report is commissioned every 2 years, and this is our fourth iteration. So we've been doing this for 8 years. I mean, it's actually commissioned by United Way of Wisconsin. So it is a statewide project. There are 27 states in the country that commissioned this same report. So that's interesting for comparative data purposes. Yeah. The report originates in New Jersey through the United Way there and Rutgers University. And so that's kind of, you know, the correlation and how the report, the data-driven part of the report originates. I guess it's a focus. I don't know if it's a focus group, a work group for each state that oversees and mines the data and looks at it, you know, and proofs it and all of that kind of thing before the report is released to the public. But our newest iteration of the report did release the last week of April. And what ALICE stands for is Asset Limited Income Constrained Employed. So this is a snapshot of members of our community who are working. And are maybe making enough and doing fine, but just kind of skirting by, or maybe they're not making enough to make ends meet, or they're maybe one financial crisis away from you know, a serious detriment to their financial position. So, for example, we may have a family in our community who, you know, is doing just fine, but then the car breaks down, and so the car has to be fixed to go to work, right? Because these are working. This is a representation of working families in our community. So the car breaks down, need the car fixed to go to work, but there's no emergency fund or there's no, right? Because it's literally paycheck to paycheck and sometimes just not even enough then.
Yeah.
So then, you know, what happens to that family? Well, they get the car fixed and then maybe they don't pay their rent or they don't pay their utility bill or they don't pay childcare. And this starts a revolving door of, you know, a couple things. Could be debt, could be inability to pay, which gets you to a point of, you know, losing those items. So you could be evicted, you could lose your utilities. I mean, there, you know, whatever it is, wherever the choice was made, and often in desperation, of course, you know, there's the potential of losing childcare if not paying the childcare. And we know that there's a childcare crisis. And so there's plenty of people on the wait list for childcare. So if you lose your spot, you know, the business side of it, they can fill the slot because there's a wait list. But if you lose your slot, then what do you do?
Right.
So what the report shows us is a couple of really important things. And first of all, it quantifies folks who are, you know, the number of households in our community that struggle. So it breaks down as far as township, which is valuable to us. You know, we look at Wood County as a whole or Adams County as a whole, and then we can, like I said, we could break it down to, you know, maybe we could look at just the city of Wisconsin Rapids or that kind of thing. So it quantifies the number of households, but then it also gives us a measure of what we call the survival budget. So there's a federal poverty guideline, which is obnoxiously low, and I would challenge anyone to say you cannot live on what the federal poverty level is.
Right.
I mean, it's a ridiculous number.
It is.
And so that's part of what made us 8 years ago say, you know, we really want this report. I guess it was 10 years ago because it takes 2 years for the report to come out. But, you know, it was really us saying, what does it actually cost a family to live here?
Right.
And understanding and recognizing that what it costs to live in Wood County is different than Dane County, is different right. than Milwaukee County, but is also different than Barron County or mm-hmm. Iron County or, you know, any of those. So it demonstrates, it builds a survival budget mm-hmm. based on the actual number, what it costs to mm-hmm. live in our county. So for an example, a single adult in our community, so this is again one person, mm-hmm. they're saying could live on, the survival budget is $23,220.
Hmm.
Again, I think a stretch.
Yeah. I
you know, so that, I think that would be really tough. I mean, that's literally pinching every single penny.
It really is.
Squeezing blood from a turnip. I mean, we can come up with all kinds of, but a family of four, so two adults, one infant and one preschooler. So this is, as you note there, implying childcare, mm-hmm. right? So two adults, one infant, one preschooler in the household. The annual wage that is needed for them is $61,464. So basically, between the adults in the family, the hourly wage needs to be at least $30.73.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be each person. You know, mm-hmm. it could be, right? Yeah. Someone could be making 20 and somebody could be making 12. But this is, you know, this is what is needed to just meet that survival budget. You know, it's kind of just basic needs. Mm. So what about that? Mm. So what? Well, Alice households in our county, in Wood County, we have 13% of our households that are below the federal poverty level, and another 27% that are below the Alice, the survival budget that I was talking about. So 40% of our households are barely making
ends
meet. That's
a crazy number, and a way too high number.
And I think it's important because I think it hopefully is shocking and hopefully is awakening to, you know, to some folks and for a number of reasons, right? These are the families that United Way funding. This is who we're helping.
Right.
This is our goal,
mm-hmm.
is to help folks who are trying and working and, you know, right, trying to make everything work and move forward.
Right.
But sometimes you stumble. And sometimes you just need help, or sometimes you're just short, right? And so this is where programs, so just as an example, this is where programs that United Way helps to fund, like Boys and Girls Club, mm-hmm. can help alleviate some childcare costs, right?
Yeah.
Because you can be a member for a year at a pretty small cost mm-hmm. versus what you might pay for, you know, full-time childcare. You think about Focus, the food pantry, the community meal site, the weekend backpack program. So a family who is finding themselves in this situation, you know, maybe by visiting the food pantry monthly, that frees up enough that mm-hmm. they're able to make their rent. And so this sounds maybe kind of elementary to, you know, to you or I or mm-hmm. maybe some folks that are listening, but this is real.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is happening in our community, and this is 40% of our households.
And we've talked about this last year and the year before too. This is something where I think there are people listening who came into this conversation not realizing they are a part of this, that they are in this Alice report, that they are a part of that 40%. I'm sure of it.
Sure.
That there are people that didn't even realize that. I think that it creates a lot of empathy for people that maybe need the numbers to understand some of this stuff and what we've been talking about on a number of levels, you and I and others. But there's other stuff to this too, and you've been doing this a while, Terry. Is there anything that stood out to you this year with this report in particular?
Well, I think there's been some enhancements to the report that I really like. So there is an Alice dashboard that you can get to by visiting our website. But what's cool is they've given additional scenarios. You know, I just brought up before the single adult, two adults, one infant, one toddler. But then they also have like two adults, right? So maybe a married couple, no children. And then they also hit on seniors because mm-hmm. it is different. You know, what a 35-year-old adult might need is different than what a senior might need because of Social Security, potentially, mm-hmm. because of Medicare, because of, you know, some of those things. So I like with this report, there's more enhanced features so that we can be looking at different segments of the community based on our census and our population.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, I really like. Of course, we are startled by the fact that we jumped up quite a bit. I mean, we were at 33%
mm-hmm.
In the last report 2 years ago, and now we're at 40.
Yeah.
Now, of course, there's the hardship of COVID. These are 2021 numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have to keep in mind that there were some, not a lot, but there were supports during COVID. Right. So there was the stimulus payments. There was additional food share dollars. There was rental assistance. Yeah. So, you know, how that factors in here as well. I'm honestly very curious, not that I want to rush through 2 years, but I'm very curious about the next report.
Me too.
You know what I mean? Because now that the you know, the state of emergency, so to speak, around COVID ended on May 11th, like a lot of these extra programs, you know, have ended.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious to see what that will mean for families. But, you know, the reality is that many, many, many families, many of this 40% do just fine. Yeah. And they figured it out and they make it work. Mm-hmm. I think it's important, though, that there's a safety net there.
Right.
And that it's understood that, you know, sometimes you need some help to get back on your feet.
There was, you know, for generations, it was, I'm gonna hand this house down to my kids, or I'm going to buy my kid a car at 16 or something. Now we've kind of come to where society's doing that a little more. Now, you know, not that specifically, but helping each other out a little bit more. And that's what we need to make this world move.
Yeah, for sure. And so we've got a couple of opportunities I just want to throw out for anybody who wants to come and learn more about the Alice Report. These are just open to the community. They're going to be hosting them at McMillan Library. And this is a little ways out, but on June 22nd, we have two opportunities at McMillan, 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. And it's in the all-purpose room, and you just come. It's designed to be a 1 hour. So we have about a half an hour presentation, then we've got question and answer time and, you know, discussion time, of course. So those are happening June 22nd, 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. here in Wisconsin Rapids at McMillan Library. And then we have another opportunity on the Adams County side of our service area, and that's on June 27th, and that'll be at 9 a.m. at the Adams County Community Center. So these are, you know, available on our website, and of course we'll be sharing more, and I'll be sharing more when I'm here, you know, during the morning show. Yeah. But I think it's just, you know, mark your calendar and come learn more.
Absolutely.
And if nothing else, it shows us how to be a little more empathetic to the folks around us, right? And
well
that we recognize that there are struggles going on.
Well said, and always a great time talking with you. Thank you, Terry. You can find out more by going to uwswac.org. Be sure to follow the United Way on all social media platforms. And, of course, as Terry mentioned, she'll be with us Friday. We'll touch on some of this stuff again on the morning show.
Sounds great.
Have a great day, everybody. We'll talk to you soon and later right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.